Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program for you today. Our speaker, Dave Rosenfeld, is an associate pastor with Thurman Scrivner of the Living Savior Ministries. We join today's message, Ask Big from a Big God, already in progress.
Another man just on fire for Jesus. On fire. I mean, he is telling people about Jesus everywhere he goes, and he's got a good walk with God. Got hit by a car this week, almost killed him. He goes, Dave, what did I do? I'm thinking, let's go to God. If we lack wisdom, James 1:5 says, let's go to God and ask him, and he'll tell us, make great and mighty things. Jeremiah 33. Praise the Lord. We'll get there yet. And I said, well, let's ask God. So we asked God, and we talked, and I said, how's your walk with your wife? Good. I said, you guys are enjoying your marriage bed? It's mutually satisfying and all that? Yeah. Okay. And then he goes, there's something this thought's been in my head. He said, when I was in Bible school, I had a really dear friend, roommate. And he said, he's still a pastor, but something happened between us and we disfellowshipped. And he says, I have tried so hard to get back with that guy. I've tried so hard, but I'll go to their door and knock. They'll pretend they're not home. I'll try and call. They never answer. They never return my calls. And he says, I have tried so hard to get back with this guy. And he says, I ran into his granddaughter the other day. And she started telling me about how he's doing. He's still in the ministry, but his family has gone berserk. I mean, it just berserk. That's all I'm going to say. So he called home just to tell his wife all the details. And within the hour, I think he said, or within 2 hours, that's when he was in the car wreck. Now, would you consider, and he says, Dave, I didn't talk bad about him. I just told her the details, you know, about what the wife is doing now and what the grandchildren are doing and all the tattoos they have and da-da-da-da-da. And he just goes down the line. He goes, was that wrong? I said, I'll ask you, was that guile in your mouth? I'll ask you, was that guile in his mouth? And God says, when he calls, especially us, when he calls us up to a higher place, he don't put up with guile in our mouths. Because the first thought that came to mind was, we're not an intercessor when we do that. We need to be calling out to God, or in his case, call out to God and say, God, have mercy on that man. He's lost focus because of the unforgiveness. This friend, this man that I was talking to on the phone, he has definitely kept seeking God. This other man is in the pulpit, but I don't know what he preaches now. I mean, maybe they're canned sermons. I don't know. But because he talked about it, our Savior said, that will not do. And I said, well, at least go to God and thank him that you didn't get killed. Okay? All right. I want to look at another, the concept of what do you do when you want to quit, when you want to give up? The first thing is, if you're not reading your Bible, read it. And when you get a rhema, stop and look at it and say, okay, God, I'm hearing from you. Thank you, Jesus. I went through a deal in my flesh for 2 years ago for a year or something. And there was times I didn't know if I was actually going to make it. I'd come to pastor and I'd say, pastor, you need to pray for me. I didn't tell him why. I just said, you need to pray for me. And so he'd pray and then I'd maybe be able to make it through whatever it was I was doing. And at those times when I thought, God, I don't know what I'm going to do, he would always lead me to Psalm 32. Now, I want to take you to Psalm 32 because I want to make your God a little bit bigger today, okay? Yes, we know you're sick because you've been sinning. We kind of can mentally assent to 1 John 1:9 that if I confess it, he'll do it, but I don't really think he'll do it. It's just going to take a long time, and we don't really know. Is that anybody there? Praise the Lord. Okay. Oh, what joy. Do you have joy? If you don't have joy, let's keep going. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. If your sin gets put out of his sight, you think you're going to be sick? Nope. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Nope. Okay. Next verse. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt. Now, where is the guilt record stored? Stored in your head. You're the one who keeps listening to those stupid thoughts about, well, you're not worthy to be healed, or you've done this, or you did that, and you know God said that those people should go to hell. I mean, I don't know what you guys have the thoughts. Not well, I have them too, praise the Lord, but not the same ones you have, praise the Lord. You tell those thoughts, we're going to have to remember 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. Not yet, just remember it. We're going to go there. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. That means no guile. No more guile in our mouths. No more guile in our lives. We just want to be honest. God, if I mess up, I messed up, but I'm going to stay focused on you because you're the only one I care about. I love my wife. She has been commissioned by God to do one thing, and that's to be my wife. That means her entire focus throughout her entire life until I pass away is to serve me and be my helpmeet. We'll get into that in a little bit, okay? Don't take that negatively. That's her focus. Our marriage is awesome because she never detracts herself from that obligation. Now, my obligation, as we saw, I'm going to refer back to previous teachings in Genesis 2, was to study my covenant and to guard it with all my life, with all my heart. That was my job in Genesis 2. May get there. So if I do that and she studies me and focuses on me, we have a wonderful marriage. Y'all, those of you who do it, know what I'm talking about. Those that you don't, know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. Okay? God wants the same with us. He wants me to, my entire focus is if I drive my car, I drive it for God. He doesn't say I can't take my family on a vacation and go fishing. He says, but if when I go do something, make sure I'm in the picture. Okay? If my wife cooks a meal and she invites all of you, she cooks it for me. Because she's not, it's not that she doesn't want to love all y'all, but her primary responsibility is me. Okay? And when I saw that image, my whole goal was to follow Christ. What did he want me to do? Praise the Lord. It's his yoke is not heavy. His burden is not heavy, and his yoke is easy. What he's called me to do is simple. It's going to be walking in love with just one person for a little bit of time, and it's going to be over, and there's going to be a fruit of or a harvest of righteous living that comes out of it. Okay? Let me get back to this. We'll get to that in a little bit when we get to Peter. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt. I was talking about that record stored up here. When you realize that he honestly forgave you and every one of those thoughts is not his condemning you. He doesn't condemn you. What was the rhema he gave me about my situation? Jeremiah 30:17. I will restore life and health to you and heal you of your wounds. That's what he told me. It was my job to go back and look at the law books and go, oh, that's why he had to say that, because I've done all this stuff beforehand. You see that? He didn't condemn me. There was no revelation in all that other stuff. It was revelation in the fact that I realized, oh, God, okay, I get it. It wasn't, oh, God, now what am I going to do? Because he'd already told me what he was going to do. I will restore life and health to you and heal you of your wounds. He wants to tell you the same thing. But so when he talks to you in your spirit, it's not guilt. Guilt comes from you. You go hand it to him, say, hey, this is yours. You paid for it on the cross. I don't want it anymore. And then you believe that. And then what joy you have when he clears your record of guilt. Because once you know that 1 John 1:9 works for you, you know that record's been cleared. You know what you did has been cleared. Okay, next verse. Got to go back a little bit now. But when I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, actually my bones wasted away, and I groaned all day long. When you're at this point, this is where I could say, right, this is where I could hear the phrase, what do you do when you just want to quit? What do you want to do when you want to give up because there's no use anymore? It doesn't work. I've tried it. It doesn't work. The psalmist says, it didn't work because I refused to confess my sin. Now, we're not talking about that grand sin you did that's very obvious. We're talking about the one when you cussed your wife or you cussed your husband or you growled at the boss That same behavior that you have in you, or somebody does you wrong and it just keeps coming back and it bugs you all over again. And then you say, well, I forgave them, and you get better, and then it comes back and bugs you, and you fight this thing for 30 years. You know, preaching to the choir here? Uh-huh. Okay, praise the Lord. Next verse. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Selah. What does Selah mean? It's in our Bibles, right? It means sing it, right? No, it doesn't mean that. It means contemplate about it. Stop. Think. This is if you're not getting rhema, this is a rhema to say, stop. Look what I just said. Now, that's what we're supposed to do when we get a rhema, when we get a revelation out of the Word. We stop and go, oh, what did you just say? Okay, let's pause and calmly think about it. Let's look at it. Let's see what God's trying to say in here. Well, if you're not there yet, the psalmist put it in for you. Selah, that's what your King James says. Stop. Think about what he just said. Okay, next verse. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. What's rebellion? Willful sin. When you rebel against God, it's a sin that says, I know that's what you said, but I'm going to do my own thing. You're rebelling against him. And it says that I confessed my willful, I'm going to go and do it sin to you, Yahweh. And what happened? And you forgave me. You see what's going on here? He says, what joy for those whose sins have been forgiven, whose guilt has been taken away. Because I confessed that thing that I obviously did. And you forgave me, all my guilt is gone. Stop and think about that. Your guilt is gone. If you have done that, I've asked people, and I say, well, have you confessed that? Well, yeah. As I said, did God forgive you? Well, I think so. Well, then you don't know what he did. Your God's this big. I'm not saying you don't have a good God. It's just that he's not very big. He said, I paid for it at the cross. I paid for it. You don't have to deal with it anymore. Just come tell me. We don't do that.
You have been listening to Dave Rosenfeld of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Ask Big from a Big God, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.